Here in verse 29, talking about this Philippian jailer, he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. In verse 30 says, brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. This is the sum that God puts in His Word. Sums up His thoughts on salvation in one sentence. And if I were to do it, it'd be the same thing. There's just a couple of places that you could direct people to go. It would be this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Salvation is by the grace of God through faith. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what it is. Now, this is no new doctrine. It's no new doctrine. It's not an easy belief, is it? All the Old Testament saints, every single one of them, was saved by grace through faith, and they lived by faith. They lived by faith. Hebrews 11 says this: through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, Abraham went out of his father's house, not knowing where he was going. By faith, Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. By faith, the walls of Jericho came down. So it's no new doctrine. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ. Salvation by grace through faith. And this even was the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you keep Acts 16 and look over in John chapter 3 with me. John chapter 3 and verse 14. This was the message of our Lord Jesus. You know, he said in one place, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on me hath everlasting life and is passed from death unto life. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. But here in John 3 and verse 14, now here's the gospel. I'm going to show you a thing here if I can. Take a minute to do it. Verse 14 is the gospel. John 3:16 is not the gospel. John 3:14 is the gospel. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There has to be an offering. There has to be a sacrifice. There has to be one to put away sin.
Amen.
And the reason he is lifted up, the reason he was crucified, the reason he is lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him, and this is the results of it, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. You see that? Whosoever believeth. Now watch this. Here's the motive for it. Here's the motive for him being lifted up. Here's the motive that God gives faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what our Savior taught. Faith in me. Believe me. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. And he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And you know the Old Testament says four different times that the just shall what? Live by faith. And this is the message the apostles preached. The very message to him all the prophets give witness. Paul said in Acts chapter 13, verse 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, that through faith in him you can be justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Huh? And you know, that's why Simon Peter, you know, when Philip was preaching to that Ethiopian eunuch, he said, "Here's water, what doeth hinder me from being baptized?" He said, "If you believe with all your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ," he says, "Sir, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And here we are again in this situation here in Acts chapter 16. We have a man, this Philippian jailer. He was broken. He is distressed. He was in trouble. Now, if you came to me broken, distressed, and in trouble, what would I tell you? If you asked me this question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And I told somebody last Sunday night, I sure would love somebody to ask me that. I certainly would love somebody to ask me. But a person won't ask that until they're broken like this jailer, distressed and troubled. And Paul's message to him was summed up like this: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Now that's just as plain as the nose on your face. But now let's look at this whole situation here. First of all, we have a man in trouble. Look in verse 29. You remember, you know, he's fixing to kill himself because his prisoners he thought were gone. And that was the way they done men in those days when they had charge over prisoners. If they let them go, let them get away, they're going to kill them anyway, going to execute them. Going to execute them. But first of all, we have a man in trouble. It says down in verse 29, "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling." He came trembling and fell down. Trembling and fell down. He's in trouble. Now, when we talk about somebody being in talk of salvation, we're talking about deliverance, talking about being saved from something.
Amen.
When people's in trouble, when we talk of salvation, we're talking about deliverance from some form of trouble, some form of distress. When we talk about people being saved, we talk about them being saved from a burning house. They went in and got them and saved them from a burning house. Save them from drowning. Save them from certain death. They was in trouble. They was in distress. And somebody saved them. That's what we're talking about in salvation. You're in trouble. You're in distress. And somebody's got to save you. And this Philippian jailer's in trouble. He's in distress. "Sirs, what must I do?" And when I speak of salvation in the spiritual area, I'm talking about deliverance from trouble and distress. And let me tell you something about the human race. I don't care what anybody else ever told you, what preacher ever told you, what you think about it. We are men and women in trouble.
Yes, sir.
Real trouble. We think we have troubles. You ain't got troubles till you get to become a sinner. And oh, we're in trouble, first of all, with the law of God. We're in trouble with God's holy law. Huh? The scripture said in Galatians 3:10, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do things." Now, if you want to say, "I'm doing the best I can, I'm trying my best to keep the Ten Commandments," let me tell you something. If you don't continue in all things, now that don't just mean the Ten Commandments. That means you got to go under the law of ceremonies. You got to keep the Sabbath from 6 o'clock on Friday evening to 6 o'clock on Saturday evening. You got to have your sacrifice. You got to have your priest. You got to have your place. And you got to eat certain things. And you got to pay tithes of every single thing you possess. I mean, when you go out and get your corn, bring, if you get 10 ears, bring one of them here. If you get 100, bring 10 to me and put it in the church.
That's right.
Now that's the law. That's the law. And when the law, you know what the law says? It says all are guilty before God.
That's right.
that every mouth may be stopped. You may not be guilty before your mother. You may not be guilty before your boyfriend or your girlfriend, your husband or your wife, but before God.
Yeah.
That every mouth may be stopped and the whole world become guilty before God. And I mean, when you understand you're guilty before God, you'll shut your mouth talking about how good you are and your justification and your righteousness and your works and your obedience. You'll stop that. And all the Scripture says to offend in one point is to be guilty of all. People say, oh, all the time, I didn't do this. But did you think about doing it? I didn't do that other thing. Well, what did you do? Not only are we in trouble with the law of God, but beloved, we're in trouble with God Himself. Isaiah said, your sins have separated you and your God. I mean, separated so far apart that you can't get back. Huh? And oh, listen. This is what God says about Himself. God said He's angry with the wicked. Every day. God said He hateth all workers of iniquity.
Amen.
And listen to this. He says that He will by no means clear the guilty. If you're guilty, there ain't but one thing can happen. The justice of God demands your death, or demands a payment for your sin. And the only payment God will accept is death. The soul that sinneth shall die. And that takes us to our next point. Not only are we in trouble with the law of God, in trouble with God, but we're in trouble with the justice of God. You know what God said? Be sure your sins will find you out. Oh my. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this is the awfulest thing that I can think that can happen to a human being. If you die in your sins, you cannot come where I am.
That's right.
Die in your sins. What a horrible thing. It's unimaginable. But people do it every day.
Yes, sir.
Members of my family have done it. And they'll do it again. They'll die in their sin. And they won't go where Christ is. And they won't go where the Lord's people are. Oh my. We're in trouble. Trouble. Not only are we in trouble with the law of God, with God, and the justice of God, but now listen. We're helpless to do anything about this state of condemnation and certain death. How are you going to change it? How are you going to change your situation? Huh? Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? How then can ye that are accustomed to do evil ever do good? Huh? And the Scripture said in Romans 8 and verse 7, in the flesh, in our old nature, by this body, with our minds, with our works, with our hearts, with our souls, with everything about us, in the flesh, no man can please God.
Right.
And this mind, this carnal mind, is enmity against God. It gets angry at God. I was reading a story this week, a true story. This elite athlete, endurance athlete, this woman, she went out for about a 5-mile run. She fell off of this cliff into this canyon and broke her body all to pieces. She laid there day after day after day, got down in the 20s at night and over 100 in the day. She couldn't move. She just happened to have where she was. There was a water thing behind her. She could reach overhead and put water in it. But this is what she said. She said since she didn't believe in God, she never did pray. She never did pray. She said, I don't believe in God. Have no religion whatsoever. And then the man who found her, and when they found her, he says that because she was lost like that and hurt so bad, he said, there's no way, this is proof again, there's no way there can be a benevolent God to let something like this happen. The carnal mind is enmity against God.
Right.
Oh my, lay dying? I ain't gonna pray. I had an aunt one time, and I've told you this before. She lay dying. Great big woman. She stood over 6 foot tall. Great big woman. She's an alcoholic all her life. She got ready to die. I went to visit her. And I said, Evie, you want me to pray with you? She said, no, I don't want you to do that. She said, I've never prayed before, so ain't no sense starting now. I said, amen, not left. She died like she lived. Carnal mind is enmity against God. Don't need Him. Huh? And oh my, the natural thing, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. But now look over here in Ephesians. I want you to see something. Oh, we've got to look at this here in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at this with me. Look at this. The natural man. He doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them. Why? They're spiritually discerned. How can he understand or spiritually judge anything? Because he's natural. But look here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Wherefore remember. Now he's talking to Gentiles here. That you being in time past Gentiles. In the flesh. In your nature. Who are called uncircumcision, that means unclean, by that which is called the circumcision to the clean, the Jews, in the flesh made by hands. And this is what you were, remember this, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now wait a minute. Look at the next two words. But now. But now, remember what? This where you was, this what you was. You was in trouble. You was in trouble with the law of God, in trouble with God. You was in trouble with the justice of God. And you was helpless. You couldn't do anything about it. But now,
yes.
Watch this. In Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, now watch this. Are made nigh. It don't say that you bring yourself nigh. You're made nigh. Amen. That means somebody else made you. By the blood of Christ. Huh? Oh, here's salvation. Here's hope. We was without. Now in Christ Jesus. Huh? Oh, beloved, let's look back over in our text. It'd be awful to leave men and women in the condition that I just described. But that's the condition that we are in outside of Christ. And if you don't know Christ today, if you haven't trusted Christ today, if you haven't bowed to Christ today, if you haven't believed on Christ today, that's the condition you're in.
Amen.
And I tell you that because I love you. Tell you that because I want you to enjoy the salvation I do. And other believers do in Christ. But look in verse 31. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? This man that was in trouble, in distress. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Here is the way of salvation set forth plainly and clearly for us to see. Here is the way of salvation that God Himself put in His Word. God put this in here. This is inspired.
Yeah.
This is God-breathed. This is what God said to His men to this man that night. This is the way of salvation given by divine inspiration in the Word of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the only way of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Look in Acts chapter 4, just a moment. Acts chapter 4. You keep Acts 16. We're going to go back. Here's what Simon Peter's preaching. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. He's standing before the Sanhedrin, a bunch of powerful people. And this man had been healed. And he says, "Be it known in verse 10 unto all you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ," wherever you find that, His name, "the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught," just considered nothing, "of you builders, you people trying to establish your own righteousness. God made Him the head of the corner." Now watch this. "Neither is there salvation in any other name. Neither is there salvation in anybody else that's been made head. Neither is there salvation by anybody else in this universe. For there's none other name under heaven." Nobody's name. Not the Pope, not a preacher, not a rabbi, not a prophet. There's salvation in and no other name under heaven given among men. Now watch this. "Whereby we must be saved."
Amen.
If a man is saved, Christ must be the Savior.
Amen.
If a man is saved from the law of God, the justice of God, and the God Himself, it's Christ that must save him. And Him alone.
Amen.
There's no other name. Not all of Christ. Not the church, Christ. Not an altar, Christ. Not Christ plus what I think. Not Christ plus what I feel. Not Christ plus what I want. Just Christ alone.
Amen.
No other name. Now look over in 1 John 5. Go in 1 John 5. I heard Brother Henry Mahan say one time that he visited a lady in the hospital, and that's what she wanted to know. "I'm fixing to leave here. I'm a very sick woman. Tell me what I must do. What salvation is. Tell me how to be saved." And this is the word, this is the scripture Brother Henry went to. I heard him tell about it one time. And he says this, verse 11, 1 John 5:11. And this is the record. Here's the record right here.
That's right.
Everybody keeps a record. You keep a check record. You keep a financial record. You keep records of your family. You keep all kinds of records. Record things. And this is the record that God hath given to us. Given. Not earned, not merited, not worked. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. Now watch this. And this life is in His Son. Now watch it now. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is the record. This is what God says. Life is in My Son. Life is in My Son. I gave record. This is my record of how I save sinners. This is my record of what I've done for sinners. This is my record of how I accomplished salvation in My Son. If you have My Son, you've got life. You've got life. Ain't that right? Now let's go back over here in Acts 16. Oh, now listen to me. Paul's instruction here to this Philippian jailer wasn't just simply believe. It wasn't an easy believism.
No.
But here's what he says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's important that we call upon the name. The name. Everything's in the name. All authorities in the name. All powers in the name. Salvation's in the name. All glory's in the name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Huh? That's what we... You see, it's important that we believe on His name. And what that name means. Our Lord Jesus says, I'm going away. Hitherto you've asked me. You've come to me. I'm going away. From now on, you'll ask the Father in my name. I'm not going to be here. You're going to have to take my name to the Father. You come in my name. And my Father will receive you for my name. And whatever you ask in my name, my Father will give it. So don't come to me. Our Lord said, don't come to my Father in any other way except through my name. Ain't that what He says?
Yeah.
And let me show you one thing here. In John 20, right back over here in John chapter 20 and verse 31. You know, that's why when God saved Paul on the Damascus Road, you know what Ananias told him? He says, the God of our fathers had chosen you to bear His name before the Gentiles. And He showed him how great things he must suffer for His name's sake. Not just anybody's, His name. Look here in John 20 and verse 31. But these are written. What's written? Well, in verse 30 it says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. Oh, book couldn't hold. But these are written. What is written is that you might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Oh, my. That's what John said right after I read 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And it says, the next verse says this, and these things have we written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life, and this life is in Christ. Huh? Ain't that right? And so you see, it's that name. It's the name. And look what it says here. So, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you something over in Philippians 2. Let's look at this together. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Philippians 2, in verse 9, watch this. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name, which is above every name. Now watch this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, whether they're in heaven, in earth, and even things under the earth. Everybody's going to have to come out of there and bow a knee to Christ. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does Lord mean? That's His deity. That's His eternality. That's His authority. He's Lord. He's the sovereign. He's the one that created the heavens and the earth. He's the one that spake everything into existence. When it says He's the Lord, that means He's God. That means He's eternal. That means He has the same authority as God Almighty. All power. He's the Lord. God gave Him this name. Gave Him this name above every name. And Jesus, at the name of Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus is His name of humiliation. Jesus is His name of humanity. Jesus is His name of obedience. Jesus is the name in His death. Jesus is the name in His resurrection. That's His humanity. There's one God and one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. And then, Lord, that's His deity, His eternality. Jesus, His humiliation and His humanity. Christ, Pharisee's office. Jesus is the Christ. That's the one appointed of God, sent of God. Men and brethren, be it known unto you that this same Jesus whom you crucified, God hath raised Him both Lord and Christ. Huh? Oh my. What does it mean to believe on Him? To believe on Him is to trust Him. I trust people. Don't you trust some people? I mean, there's people in this building today that I would, that if I left them with everything I own, they'd take better care of it than I'd take care of myself. Because I trust them. Why do I trust them? Because I know them. And I tell you, when you know Him and believe on Him, it's to trust Him. I trust Him. Paul said, I know whom I have believed.
Yes.
I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded. I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that whatsoever I've committed unto Him against that day, He'll keep it.
Amen.
He'll keep it. Huh? Oh, trust Him with your soul. If you had 10,000 of them, you could trust Him with every single one of them. And not only to believe on Him is to trust Him. To believe on Him is to receive Him.
Yes, sir.
John 1 and 10 said, to as many as He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, which believe on His name. And all, beloved, and to believe on Him is to confess Him. Look over here in Acts chapter 8. To believe on Him is to confess Him. Is to confess Him. And I think maybe, you know, I mentioned this to somebody the other day. People think that maybe you feel like if you're going to confess Christ, you have to stand up in the congregation and make a long testimony to tell everybody in the congregation. I'd love for you to do that, but you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that at all. If you want to confess Christ, you just come to me and say, I want to be baptized. Come to me anytime during the week. Come to me after a service. And that's how you confess Christ, by baptism. And look, that's what happened right here in Acts 8 and verse 35. Here's this eunuch. Philip's in the chariot with him. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? That's a good question. That's a great question. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? What hinders you? Huh? What hinders you? What keeps you from being baptized? Ask yourself that question. If you consider yourself a believer and never been baptized, what doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and says, oh, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. Now Philip didn't need to be baptized. He went down into that water to baptize that eunuch. That eunuch couldn't baptize himself, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit led Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. But I tell you what, did that eunuch did do? He went on his way rejoicing. He had something to rejoice about now. Well, let's look back over in Acts 16. I'll be done. You know, it's like Naaman. Naaman thought that, you know, he could be saved certain ways by giving wealth and clothes. But he had one thing to do. He's told just one thing. Get in that water 7 times. Oh, that's just too simple. If you're going to be cleansed of your leprosy, you're going to do what God says. If you're going to be saved from your trouble, you're going to do what God says. God says, believe on His Son. This commandment have we received, that you believe on Jesus Christ and that you love one another. That's a commandment. That's no option. And when you're converted and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's easy. Look here, we got a man changed here in verse 32. So they went into the house and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. They continued preaching to him, continued instructing him, took the Bible and showed him some things. And then look what else he done. And he took them the same hour of the night, took them that night, washed their stripes. Oh my, how comforting. How ashamed he was when he took that water and whatever else he had in it and began to wash that blood off their backs. You know, he felt ashamed that he had any part in that. Oh, how could, why would anybody have done these miracles? Watch this, and was baptized. Here's his confession. He and all his straightway. One of them preachers, Silas or Paul, took him to where there's some water at right there and baptized him that night. Now watch this now. And when he had brought them into this house, brought them in. Come in. Oh, I want you to be in open hearts, open homes, open. Oh my. And he set meat before them. Here, had his wife fix him something to eat. Kind of like folks in the South, you know, come in at midnight. Get up and fix something to eat for these folks. They've been all on the road all night. Better fix them something to eat. And oh my, set meat before them and rejoiced. He rejoiced. Oh, bless your heart for telling me the gospel. Bless your heart for telling me about Christ. Oh, thank God that I was in trouble, ready to die. And now I have peace. Now I have joy. And he rejoiced. Yeah. Believing in God with all of his house. Huh? Oh, beloved, can you do that? When our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, commissioned of God Almighty, ordained of God from before the foundation of the world, and sent by His Father into this world to save sinners. He came not as an amateur taking the office upon Himself without any authority. No, no. When He descended and came through the womb of the Virgin Mary, He grew up, He met and obeyed the law fully and completely and finally.
Yes.
On that cross, with His last breath, He cried out, "It is finished." And there, beloved, He had accomplished all that He was sent to do. He finished that work the Father gave Him to do. He brought glory to His Father. And He saved. He made a redemption effectual.
Yes.
And oh, beloved, He's a sufficient and effectual Savior who can be trusted, who can be relied on, who you can face God with.
Amen.
Without any fear. Oh, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Believe on Christ, on the Lord. Oh, our Father, gracious, gracious God in heaven, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your pity. But we especially thank you, oh Lord Jesus, for bearing our sin in your own body, fulfilling that law in our stead, bearing our sin and dying in our stead so that we can go free without any sin. Not only without sin, but having a righteousness, even the very righteousness of God. Oh Lord, thank you. God caused the gospel to run well here today. We ask in Christ our Lord's name. Amen. Amen.
Get your chorus books.
Turn to number 10. We're going to do number 10 here in this course book. Will you stand with me?